This is a weekly summary of news about women and women's issues and from women's perspectives, which comes to you from the weekly Cheers and Jeers column of the Women's E! News. I'm Nancy Casey.
First, the good news. Arizona Walmart stores are getting behind a program to connect with women affected by domestic violence by displaying posters in women's restrooms that read, "Domestic violence, end the silence, end the violence." Attorney General Terry Goddard hopes the posters can reach women, quote, "at a time and a place when they feel safe without the abuser around," unquote. More news to cheer this week. A measure to legalize same-sex marriage passed the District of Columbia's City Council by an 11-2 vote. Opponents of the bill have threatened to mount a referendum, while Republicans and conservative Democrats in the House, which oversee the district's budget, are weighing legislative methods for blocking the bill. Cheers for New York Governor David Patterson, who signed an executive order requiring state agencies to include transgender individuals in their non-discrimination policies. Two women in Northern Ireland have been awarded more than €17,000 for discrimination they suffered after going on maternity leave. Anne McKiernan of the Equality Commission said, quote, "Women returning to work after the birth of a baby with responsibility for upbringing of their child have rights under sex discrimination and employment rights, which cannot be set aside." Cheers for Spain's Congress of Deputies for voting to lift abortion restrictions 184 to 158. The bill allows abortions up to the 14th week of pregnancy without restrictions and lifts a parental consent requirement for 16 and 17-year-olds. An Oklahoma judge has extended a temporary restraining order on a law that would post information online about women who get abortions in the state. The law requires doctors to submit a 10-page questionnaire for every abortion performed, including a woman's age, marital status, race, and years of education. This law is being challenged by the New York-based Center for Reproductive Rights. Now for the bad news. Women in the Arab world experience groping, verbal abuse, and other forms of sexual harassment in the streets, schools, and workplaces on a daily basis, according to activists at a two-day regional conference on sexual harassment in Cairo. Harassment is unchecked across the region because of inadequate laws, no reporting, and authorities' disregard, creating what organizer Nehad Abulkosman calls, quote, "a phenomenon that is limiting women's right to move and threatening their participation in all walks of life," unquote. More news to cheer this week. Black women treated through Medicare are less likely than white women to receive radiation therapy after the removal of a cancerous cyst or tumor from their breast. This according to a study of 37,000 women aged 66 and older who were diagnosed with early-stage breast cancer for which the therapy is considered standard. 65% of black women received the therapy after undergoing a lumpectomy, as opposed to 74% of white women. Cheers for the care that female veterans receive. They have higher rates of divorce, greater risk for homelessness, and are more likely to be a single parent, but all the same are less likely to receive recognition for their service than their male counterparts. Female vets who seek help screen at a higher rate for military sexual trauma, which indicates that they've experienced sexual harassment, assault, or rape. About 50% of female teens in U.S. cities acquire a sexually transmitted infection within 2 years of becoming sexually active, according to an Indiana University of Medicine study. Within 2 years, 75% of the teens had second infections, and within 4 years, that percentage rose to 92%. A Sierra Leone woman is contesting an election after officials said a woman cannot run for chiefdom. Elizabeth Kumba Simka Torto, who is demanding a new vote, says she has been harassed and threatened by officials, and protesters have attacked her house and thrown stones at her convoy. Torto says she is eligible for the position because her father was a chief. And this week we note that James Chartrand, who founded Men with Pens in 2006, has revealed that he is actually a Canadian mom of two. After working under her real name, which she has not revealed, Chartrand struggled to make it as a freelance writer for years. Out of desperation, she started submitting her work under a male pseudonym to see if it made a difference, and jobs have poured in ever since. Chartrand decided to out herself after an ex-business partner started telling people. The U.S. Commission on Civil Rights, investigating possible gender discrimination in college admissions, will subpoena data from more than a dozen mid-Atlantic universities to determine whether some colleges favor men by admitting them at a higher rate than women or by offering them more generous aid packages. Women outnumber men nearly 60% to 40% in higher education nationally, and the probe sprung from anecdotal evidence that admissions officials are discriminating against women to promote a more even gender mix. As female executives emerge as serious contenders for statewide political office in Connecticut, California, and Florida, political observers like consultant Chris LaCivita say these candidacies could create an alternate model for women to enter politics. Six El Salvadorian women are now able to file suit against their supervisors, who they allege routinely sexually harassed them over a period of years and then fired them last year. The women, who worked for nearly a decade with a government contractor in Long Island, New York, filed complaints with the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission in April. Now that a 180-day review period has ended, the women can file suit. We note that older women who take antidepressants might have a higher risk of stroke and death compared to women not on the medication, according to a study of 5,500 postmenopausal women who began taking antidepressants after enrolling in a trial by the Women's Health Initiative. The annual risk of stroke was 0.3% for women who did not take antidepressants and up to 0.5% for women who did.
These news briefs were compiled by Kimberly St. Louis, an editorial intern at the Women's E! News. Rita Henley-Jensen is the editor-in-chief. This audio production of Women's E! News was produced in the studios of KRFP in Moscow, Idaho, and brought to you by VP Foundation and Yin Radio, which you can find on the web at vpfound.org. Background music is by Joan Hickey. The text of this broadcast and more news about women can be found at the Women's E! News website, womensenews.org. For Yin Radio and KRFP, I'm Nancy Casey.